Hello, this is Marianne, and for the next half hour I will be reading from the November 2025 issue of the Jewish Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Page 1, A Season of Gratitude by Miriam Abramovich. Thanksgiving is one of those rare and beautiful days when our entire nation pauses. No matter one's faith or background, we all gather around festive tables to enjoy seasonal food and give thanks for the abundance of life's blessings. In a time when divisions often dominate the headlines, gathering around a shared table to break bread and express gratitude reminds us of the quiet strength we can still find in community. In my family, we joke that Thanksgiving is the easiest of the Jewish holidays, the only one without formal rituals or prayers, yet at its essence, it may be among the most spiritual of our observances. Gratitude, after all, is at the heart of Jewish life. Each morning, we recite Mode Ani, a prayer of thanks for the gift of a new day. And our tradition calls us to recite 100 blessings daily, reminding us to find holiness and gratitude in the ordinary. Gratitude, however, can encompass profound dualities. The recent release of 20 living hostages from Gaza is a gift beyond measure, one that has brought immense relief and abundant joy to so many. Yet that joy does not erase continued pain of the 15 families who are still awaiting the return of their loved ones' remains for a dignified burial, nor the grief for the 919 soldiers who have fallen, nor the 1,200 lives brutally taken on October the 7th, their light stolen from the world. As Thanksgiving approaches, I find myself conscious of these dualities and deeply grateful for the strength that comes from being part of the Jewish people and from the gifts of community, the friends, family, colleagues, and partners who stand by our side, especially in the darkest of hours. Judaism offers a beautiful insight into the nature of gratitude through relationships. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Strength, our sages remind us, is not born in isolation, it is cultivated through connection. We become sharper, wiser, and more resilient because of those who walk beside us. At its best, gratitude is not just felt, it is lived. It moves us to act, to care for one another, and to build the kind of world we want our children to inherit. That spirit guides the Buffalo Jewish Federation's K-12 work with schools, which took on new urgency and immense investment in the months that followed October the 7th. In the wake of that horrific day, a vicious roar of anti-Semitism erupted here at home, especially in schools, where Jewish students and families have faced unique challenges. Anti-Semitism is not always loud. It can appear in classroom worksheets, conversations between peers, or in the ways the war between Israel and Hamas is framed by educators. While criticism of any country can be appropriate, it crosses into anti-Semitism when it denies Jewish self-determination, applies double standards, endorses violence, or blames Jewish people collectively for the actions of Israel's government. That's why our federation team works closely with districts to help them identify and respond to anti-Semitism in K-12 spaces. We are deeply grateful to the many superintendents, principals, and teachers who have chosen partnerships with us and openness to education over silence. Together, we are working to ensure that classrooms across Western New York are places where all identities are uplifted, where Jewish students feel safe to learn and belong, and where truth and respect guide conversations. Under the professional leadership of Lauren Bloomberg, Rachel Bierman, Wendy Weisbrot, in partnership with volunteer leaders Armand Morrison, Marnie Marciano, and Anne-Marie Carosella, our K-12 initiatives continue to grow from Holocaust education and peer-to-peer dialogue about the Jewish American experience to professional development for administrators and robust teacher training. These efforts feel especially poignant now as the return of the hostages reminds us to hold our children close and to be profoundly grateful for those in our community who help them learn, grow, and belong. As we gather around our Thanksgiving tables this year, I invite us all to be grateful for blessings, both ordinary and extraordinary. May we be thankful for the 20 hostages who have returned home and can once again break bread with those they love, closing after years of journeying one chapter of unimaginable pain. May we also give thanks for the friendships and partnerships that bring strength and security to Jewish Buffalo, for the educators who help our children learn and thrive, and for the enduring spirit of our people who, even in darkness, continue to choose hope, connection, and joy. Page 2, welcoming new leaders to the Federation team. The Buffalo Jewish Federation is proud to welcome several outstanding professionals to its growing team. Each brings unique experience, passion, and purpose to these new roles, helping to strengthen Jewish life, deepen community connections, and advance Federation's mission to secure and enrich Jewish Buffalo for generations to come. Erica Brescher, Senior Director of Communications, Craig Macy, Senior Director of Community Security, Samantha Stevens, Director of Jewish Experience, and Jeannie Rose Stewart, Executive Assistant. This was a summary of the article. Page 4 has two announcements. The first one, Candles and Cones, a Frozen Festival of Light, December the 14th. Families are invited to celebrate Hanukkah with a sweet twist of at Candles and Cones, a Frozen Festival of Light, a free PJ Library Hanukkah party on Sunday, December the 14th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at STO LAT Event Space, 4475 Transit Road, Williamsville. Second announcement, annual meeting. Join us for the annual business meetings and election of officers of the Buffalo Jewish Federation and the Buffalo Foundation for Jewish Philanthropies. Wednesday, December the 3rd, 2025, 6:30 p.m. There will be a light reception at 7 p.m. The program. It will be held at the Foundry, 1738 Elmwood Avenue, Buffalo. And there is an RSVP link on page 4. Reverse Tashlich. This past September, the Buffalo Federation joined youth worldwide in Reverse Tashlich, a high holiday initiative of Repair the Sea. This event, now in its fifth year for our federation, turns the traditional ritual on its head. Instead of casting our sins into the water, we remove the debris that harms it. This year, we had 40 community members of all ages who gathered at the Buffalo Tift Nature Preserve for a hands-on cleanup of the shoreline and park areas. Together they learn about the Tift Nature Preserve and how the waterway there connects all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, collected trash, restored beauty and strengthened community bonds. Reverse Tashlich is more than a cleanup, it's a Jewish act of environmental stewardship, a renewal of our covenant with creation, and a reminder that protecting the planet is part of our shared sacred responsibility. We look forward to continuing this tradition next year. Page 5, Leading with Heart, Musar for Jewish Professionals. This fall, Susan Goldberg Schwartz and Evie Weinstein are bringing the timeless wisdom of Musar to 16 Jewish community professionals through a new learning cohort focused on personal character, leadership, and organizational culture. The Buffalo Jewish Federation, in partnership with the JCC, brought this opportunity to professionals, which will give them tools to make more thoughtful choices in complex moments and strengthen the inner traits that shape effective and compassionate leadership. Musar is a Jewish spiritual practice devoted to cultivating one's inner life and refining character, rooted in the teachings of the Talmud and the ethical masters of the Middle Ages. The Musar movement took form in 19th century Lithuania under Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who taught that knowledge of Torah must be matched by the shaping of our hearts and habits. At the heart of Musar are midot, traits such as humility, patience, gratitude, compassion, enthusiasm, and trust. Through reflection, mindfulness, and practice, each can be strengthened and integrated into daily life. The tools of Musar are deceptively simple, yet transformative. Focusing on one trait each day, journaling about its expression, repeating short, centering phrases, and engaging in honest conversation within community. Over time, these small practices inspire lasting personal and professional growth. By bringing this Musar opportunity to our community's professionals, we aim not only to nurture their personal and professional growth, shared Stacy Block, Chief Operations Officer of the Buffalo Jewish Federation, but also to spark meaningful collaboration and lasting relationships among organizations, strengthening the fabric of Jewish Buffalo together. Page 6 has an announcement. Holocaust Education Research Organization of the Buffalo Jewish Federation, join us for a community Kristallnacht commemoration led by Rabbi Sarah Risch, Sunday, November the 9th, from 10 to 11 a.m., and the registration link is on page 6. The next article, 10-7 commemoration. More than 200 members of Jewish Buffalo came together on Sunday, October the 5th, to commemorate the second anniversary of October 7th, 2023, the day that joy was shattered by terror and a day that forever changed the Jewish world. Through stories, song, prayer, and act of kindness, we mourned those whom we lost, honored the heroes, and reaffirmed our commitment to bring every hostage home and support Israel's ongoing recovery. Through somber moments, hope was woven into all aspects of the deeply moving community gathering. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Jewish Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Gratitude in Action, How You Empower JFS Year-Round. This time of year, our community is deeply focused on giving thanks as we gather together to celebrate with families around dinner tables this month. JFS extends our gratitude to you, our Kehila, who sustains our work year-round. Because of your continued support, JFS has been able to serve and strengthen lives across Buffalo and Western New York. 1,349 care coordination clients with care coordination services, 50 Holocaust survivors with services from our Jewish Community Services team, 1,569 community services, clients with housing, family support, and other vital programming, whether assisting a senior with benefits, guiding a family through complex medical needs, helping someone pursue a new career, or crafting a care plan for a Jewish household, JFS provides services that help our community thrive. We are deeply grateful for your belief in our mission and look forward to sharing more ways your support continues to make a difference. Next article, Hadassah Programs on Transgender Awareness and Support. Buffalo Hadassah, in partnership with Congregation Shir Shalom and its men's support, hosted a well-attended panel discussion on Sunday, September the 14th. The program opened with remarks by Phyllis Steinberg, Hadassah board member, and introductions by Dr. Gail Barstein, Erie County Commissioner of Health and Adolescent Medicine Specialist. Panelist Dr. Kathleen Bethen, pediatric endocrinologist, Oishei Children's Hospital, Jack Cavanaugh, Executive Director, GLYS, and Maria Waithi, former Erie County Deputy Executive and parent of a transgender young woman, shared their experiences and insights on supporting transgender individuals and families. The conversation quickly became interactive as the panelists invited questions from the audience. Thoughtful, heartfelt exchanges continued throughout the two-hour program, with many attendees staying afterward to speak personally with the panelists. Given the overwhelming interest, Hadassah Program Committee organized a follow-up virtual event in October, introduced by Marlene Katzel, Program Chair. The panel featured Tony Belloni and its son Emmett Belloni, who shared their family's journey, along with Dr. Joshua Finkelstein, a clinical psychologist specializing in LGBTQ care. For more information about Hadassah and upcoming programs, email mkatsek@me.com. Page 10 has a couple of announcements. Midlife Engagement Shabbat Dinners. Join a beautifully, joyfully Jewish home-based potluck Shabbat dinner Friday, November the 21st, location provided upon RSVP, and the link is on page 10, buffalojewishfederation.org/link-gatherings. The next announcement, Wise Gatherings, Wise Women Gathering, on Thursday, November the 13th, 7 to 9 p.m., and then there will be a Wise Men Gathering on Sunday, November the 2nd, 10:30 a.m., 12 p.m. in person. For more information or to register, go to buffalojewishfederation.org/link-gatherings. Next article, The Story and Spirit of the JCC Movement. The Jewish Community Center movement began in 1854 when the first Hebrew Young Men's Literary Association opened in Baltimore to support Jewish immigrants and nurture Jewish continuity. By 1913, local centers had united under the Council of Young Men's Hebrew and Kindred Associations, leading to the founding of the Jewish Welfare Board in 1917, a national network devoted to the welfare of Jewish military personnel and the broader Jewish community. After World War II, as Jewish families moved to the suburbs, JCC's evolved to meet new needs for recreation, education, and connection. The 1950s and 1960s saw a boom in modern facilities offering day camps, arts programs, nursery schools, athletics, senior services, and informal Jewish learning, all enriching Jewish life. The Six-Day War in 1967 inspired renewed Jewish pride and a deepened connection to Israel. JCCs became vibrant cultural hubs, hosting book fairs, film festivals, Soviet Jewry rallies, and Israel Independence Day celebrations that brought entire communities together. Today, the Jewish Community Center of Greater Buffalo continues that proud legacy, guided by the mission to serve as the town square for Jewish and Greater Western New York. The JCC strengthens community through recreational, educational, cultural, and social programs rooted in Jewish values. Its vision shaping futures, building community. Our Impact Fitness and Wellness, newly renovated facilities offering inclusive programs for all ages and abilities, Camp Centerland, and award-winning summer day camp welcoming over 700 campers each year, early childhood education, a kids' place, creative after-school programs engaging nearly 200 children weekly, adult and cultural arts, classes in art, games, and local exploration, plus the cover-to-cover book festival and Buffalo International Jewish Film Festival, Jewish Repertoire Theater, the area's only professional Jewish theater, recipient of numerous Arty Awards. Across North America, JCC professionals now reach nearly 2 million people annually, engaging more young Jewish families than any other movement on the continent. If you haven't yet experienced our community, we invite you to stop by, perhaps for a cup of coffee in one of our lobbies. Contact Mark Horowitz, Chief Operations Officer, 716-204-2078. Page 11, East Side Cemetery nominated to State and National Historic Registers. The Buffalo Jewish Federation Cemetery Corporation continues to earn recognition across New York State for leading preservation efforts that strengthen the present and future of Jewish cemeteries in the Greater Buffalo Niagara region. On September 12, 2025, Governor Kathy Hochul announced that the New York State Board for Historic Preservation has nominated Beth Jacob Cemetery for listing on the State and National Registers of Historic Places. Beth Jacob, also known as the Duad Street Cemetery, is the last surviving Jewish cemetery of Buffalo's East Side. Located at 23 Duad Street, it offers a rare, tangible record of the religious, cultural, and social practices of Buffalo's Orthodox Jewish immigrants, particularly those from Russia and Lithuania, who settled in the city from the 1880s through the 1920s. The cemetery provides insights into immigration, communal organization, religious life, and artistic expression of identity and memory. Its markers reflect late 19th and early 20th century American grave making adapted by the Jewish immigrant community, with distinctive symbolism and inscriptions that honor their cultural and religious identity. Its burial practices, layout, marker typology, gravestone, symbolism, and location all illuminate evolving religious affiliations, immigrant assimilation, and community cohesion. While earlier Jewish cemeteries in the city have vanished beneath urban infrastructure or moved to Pine Ridge, Beth Jacob Cemetery endures as a vital physical reminder of Jewish heritage on Buffalo's east side. Inquiries about the Jewish cemeteries and the preservation initiatives facilitated by the Buffalo Jewish Federation Cemetery Corporation may be sent to cemetery@buffalojewishfederation.org. This was a summary of the article. Next article, Jewish Discovery Center launches Your Life, Your Mission. Too often we drift through life, busy but not fulfilled, rarely stopping to ask, why am I here? What's my purpose? Beginning Sunday, November 16th at 11 a.m., the Jewish Discovery Center invites the Buffalo community to pause and reflect through a transformative 6-week adult education course, Your Life, Your Mission, A Purpose into Purposeful Living. In a time of constant motion and noise, many crave direction. Drawing from classical Jewish teachings, Chassidic thought, and Kabbalistic insight, the course explores life's central question, what am I living for? Led by Rabbi Heschel Greenberg, director of the Jewish Discovery Center, participants will study timeless texts, Maimonides, Tetanya, the Zohar, and learn how to uncover their unique mission and live it with intention. More than a class, it's an experience, combining inspiration with practical tools to bring clarity, balance, and joy into daily life. Over 6 sessions, participants will explore the Jewish perspective on destiny and divine purpose, learn to turn routine moments into opportunities for purpose, see how challenges shape personal growth and meaning. Rabbi Greenberg shares, in today's world, many feel pulled in countless directions. Judaism teaches that every soul has a mission only it can fulfill. This course helps uncover that mission and live it with confidence and joy. To register, visit jewishdiscovery.org or call 716-400-1550. Page 12, End of Year Tax Planning. Make the most of your charitable giving. As 2025 draws to a close, many of us take stock of our goals, personal, financial, and philanthropic. For those committed to strengthening Jewish Buffalo and uplifting the broader community, year-end tax planning offers a powerful way to align values with impact. At the Foundation for Jewish Philanthropies, we are honored to help donors turn generosity into lasting change. Important year-end deadlines. To qualify for 2025 deductions, checks must be postmarked by December the 31st, and securities must be received before year-end. Initiate transfers early as brokerage firms experience heavy December volume. The Foundation for Jewish Philanthropies is here to guide you in building a legacy of generosity. For more information, contact Jacob Fox, jacob@jewishphilanthropies.org. Page 14, Holidays Filled with Heart at KOT. The more than 40 families who make up Kehilat or Tzion are truly like one extended family. Celebrations are shared by all, and davening together during the high holidays is especially warm and uplifting. This year, as always, many children and grandchildren returned home to join their families for the holidays. The sanctuary was filled with strollers, toys, laughter, and above all, smiles. As babies, toddlers, and young adults gathered on both sides of the Meshitza. For more information about KOT, email Rabbi S. CHACHTER 75@gmail.com. Next is an announcement. PJ Library November event, PJ Pals Shabbat, Saturday, November the 15th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. For more information or to register, please visit buffalojewishfederation.org/link-gatherings. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Jewish Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Page 15, Hillel launches new Leadership Institute by Ryan Pyken. Hillel of Buffalo is proud to launch the Hillel Leadership Institute, a year-long initiative designed to help students develop personal, interpersonal, and practical leadership skills. We have begun onboarding 10 motivated students, including 5 returning student leaders who have already distinguished themselves as role models within Hillel, and 5 first-year students eager to deepen their involvement. Together, our goal is to create a mentorship culture where upperclassmen support newer students as they navigate college life and discover what Hillel means to them. During the fall semester, participants will focus on building foundational leadership skills through meaningful discussions, hands-on activities, and guided self-reflection, strengthening group connection and personal growth. In the spring semester, students will put these skills into action by designing and implementing their own campus engagement initiatives. Projects may include community service events, social gatherings at Hillel, or Jewish holiday experiences that bring peers together. The mission of HLI and of Hillel as a whole is to cultivate an environment where students feel inspired to lead, make a difference on campus, and grow in their understanding of themselves. We are thrilled to take our leadership development efforts to the next level and look forward to sharing more about our HLI journey in the months ahead. Ryan Pyken is the 2024-2026 Springboard Fellow at Hillel of Buffalo. She can be reached at springboard@hillelofbuffalo.org. Page 19, CJL's Jewish Women's Circle. The Jewish Women's Circle at the Center for Jewish Life is a vibrant community of women who come together to connect, learn, and celebrate their heritage in a warm and welcoming atmosphere. Whether you are deeply rooted in Jewish tradition or simply curious to explore, the Women's Circle offers a space where every woman feels at home. Each gathering combines friendship, inspiration, and fun. From creative hands-on projects and culinary workshops to meaningful discussions and holiday celebrations, the Women's Circle blends the richness of Jewish tradition with the joys of everyday life. Last month, in preparation for Yom Kippur, women gathered for a unique Kintsurgi art workshop, Beauty in the Broken. The group explored the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with gold, a powerful symbol of healing, forgiveness, and renewal. Participants also created a one-of-a-kind dish symbolizing the ability to repair what is broken and transform it into something even more beautiful. The evening offered artistic expression and deep personal reflection, reminding us that our flaws and struggles can become sources of strength and beauty. The Jewish Women's Circle at the Center for Jewish Life welcomes women of all ages. For more information, please visit jewishbuffalo.com or call 716-639-7600. Next is an announcement, the Kabbalah of Meaning. If everyone knew exactly why they were here, this course wouldn't be needed. As King Solomon observed and modern psychology affirms, many of us wrestle with the same question, what makes my life meaningful? For our ancestors, survival itself provided purpose. Today, with comfort and choice, we face a different challenge. What now? This is more than philosophy. Since World War II, anxiety, depression, and loneliness have surged. A clear sense of why can make the difference between drifting and thriving. Even those not in crisis often sense a quiet emptiness, lives filled with activity but missing a unifying thread of purpose. For centuries, Jewish mystics and sages have explored how to live with meaning. Their timeless insights help us bring courage, joy, and direction to modern life. The Kabbalah of Meaning invites you to explore life's deepest questions. What truly gives life meaning? How is feeling meaningful different from being purposeful? What does it mean to be created in God's image? Join Rabbi Leitzer Lapkowitz of the Center for Jewish Life for a 6-week journey blending ancient wisdom with real-world relevance, helping you uncover purpose, balance, and fulfillment. It will be held on Mondays from November the 3rd until December the 8th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Center for Jewish Life, 757 Hopkins Road, Williamsville. For reservations, please visit jewishbuffalo.com or call 716-639-7600. Page 20, Leading with Care and Building Bridges by Rabbi Brent Gottman. Across America, we feel the strain of a fraying social fabric. Families are stretched, our population is aging, and distrust and xenophobia make compassion harder. The hidden strain of caregiving and the erosion of trust show how fragile our connections are. This is why building bridges across our community and supporting caregivers and their families is so critical. Toward that end, I would like to share two exciting developments from this summer. Temple Beth Sion and Jewish Family Services received a partnership grant from the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation to be used to address the critical needs of caregivers. Many who regularly help others don't recognize themselves as caregivers, yet their compassionate work keeps loved ones well and families together. The Archangels program is where we will begin this work. Scan the Archangels QR code in the adjoining ad to the left and take the brief survey to add your voice. We would love to hear from you. This is on page 20. As for building bridges, Temple Beth Sion has been hard at work. When I arrived in 2022, our jewel on Delaware needed some care and attention. Much has changed since then. Maintenance is up to date, renovations are nearing completion, and our congregation and religious school are growing. Our campus, too, is now supporting an evolving Jewish arts, culture, and social services scene. Toward that end, our second development this summer comes from Bloomberg Philanthropies. This international organization is supporting the work of the Jewish Museum of Buffalo and its communal board of directors. Founded at 806 Delaware and building on the Kofeld Museum and Bloom Jewish Education Project, the JMB has welcomed over 7,000 participants since January 2024. Bloomberg Philanthropies is supporting JMB's progress and work to deepen understanding across Western New York. This is a very exciting development. We are delighted about both the Ralph C. Wilson and Bloomberg recognitions. Their impacts will help cultivate both the jewels we find in our caregivers and the treasure we have here at 805 Delaware. Brent Gottman is the senior rabbi of Temple Beth Sion. Page 22 has an announcement. scholar in residence Shabbat with Sarit Wishnevsky on Saturday, November 22, 2025, at Temple Beth Sedek. There will be an event at 9:30 a.m. Talk, More Than One Blessing, Legacy, Community, and Sacred Care. And at 7 p.m., there will be another talk, Death Over Dessert. Join us for dessert and a salon-style program with conversations about end-of-life topics. To RSVP, please send an email to rsvp@btzbuffalo.org or call 716-838-3232. Page 26, Sue Carroll, A Beautiful Life, in loving memory. In late September, our community lost a very special member, Suzanne Sue Iris Carroll. Sue was the beloved and devoted wife of Alan Carroll, with whom she shared over 61 years of love and marriage. Together, they built a beautiful life centered in family, joy, and love. We are honored to share excerpts from Alan's eulogy for Sue as we remember the many contributions she made to her family, friends, and Jewish Buffalo. Family and friends were the most important part of Sue's life, so she would be happy that so many of you are here to say goodbye. How do I come close to describing the greatest gift I received in my lifetime? It all began when we were volunteers in the principal's office as sophomores in high school. I quickly developed a crush on her, but did not feel I could ask her on a date, because we were in very different social groups for kids in our class. Sue was part of the extremely popular group, and I was a member of the somewhat nerdy group. Asking her out was nevertheless continually on my mind. I told a friend the following summer that I would like to ask Sue on a date, but I was sure she would never go out with me. He said, "You will never know unless you ask." So I did, and I think you know the answer. We became a couple immediately, and we were a team for 67 years. During that time, we literally raised each other by guiding each other through life and helping develop each other's potential. With her love, support, patience, advice, and encouragement, she transformed an insecure, undependable procrastinator into a responsible, confident hard worker who is happy with himself and loves life. She had the same impact on our children. Sue's special gift for inspiring, motivating, building confidence, creating unity, and communicating built a strong family unit where everyone loved and supported each other. I actually do not recall our children ever arguing with each other. They always seemed to enjoy each other's successes. When they got older, we were extremely pleased with the values they had developed, their strong character, their integrity, and their resilience after disappointments. We were equally thrilled when they all married wonderful people and created terrific families of their own. We have 7 amazing grandchildren. Sue and I had an incredible relationship. Almost every day during the last 20 or more years, we would look at each other and say, "How did we get so lucky to have this phenomenal life together, where we have each other, our wonderful family, and dozens of fantastic friends?" We truly felt that no other couple could possibly love each other as much as we did, or be happy as we were. We were extremely grateful. A large part of Sue's life was her teaching. She taught Sunday school at Temple Beth Sion for dozens of years. It was an enormously important part of her life. Sue taught for 20 years in the City of Buffalo Public Schools. Whenever we were in North Buffalo, I felt as if I was married to a celebrity. It was uncanny how often a former student or a parent would approach us enthusiastically with a look of adoration on their faces and say, "Mrs. Carroll, it is great to see you. You are the best teacher I or my child ever had." What made her such a great teacher? Her desire to help children, her natural aptitude and hard work. She had a gift for creating a warm, friendly environment in which everyone felt comfortable. Her class became family. The same phenomenal qualities that created our family transformed her students annually into a unit. The students learned almost immediately that everyone was equal and unkindness to a classmate was unacceptable. I can best demonstrate her effectiveness as a teacher by reading two notes written when she was nominated for the New York State Teacher of the Year. The first is from a former student. "During my years at Olmsted and City Honors, and now at Harvard, many of my teachers have been excellent, but Mrs. Carroll is at the top of this highly distinguished group. She has an affectionate spirit that radiates from her and fills the room. She finds the best in all her students. She peers into their minds and understands their feelings. There is a high level of positive reinforcement that causes students to feel good about themselves and enables them to perform at their highest level. She impacted my life in a way no other teacher ever has." The second is from a parent. "My daughter has had many terrific teachers, but Mrs. Carroll stands out as the best. We still have boxes filled with her projects from that class, but we don't need to open them to see Mrs. Carroll's impact. The difference she made is visible every day. Our daughter learned that education spills beyond the classroom, to respect and value differences, to discover her own uniqueness, to learn how to learn. Mrs. Carroll took a shy, quiet girl and with skill and loving attention, led her out of herself and into the world. We can never repay her for the role she played in our daughter's life." When talking about Sue's life, it is important to mention Judy Cantor and Sue Joffe, who were her best friends for decades, and who were specially devoted during Sue's last few years as she struggled with Alzheimer. Of course, a key person in Sue's life was her sister Betty. They were much more than sisters. They were soulmates. They not only loved each other, they also revered each other and were extremely attentive to each other. It was a beautiful thing to watch and was a huge part of Sue's life. Betty always said that Sue was the best big sister in the world, the whole world. Sue was the best at most things. She had the most friends of anyone I have met because she loved people and always put others before herself. I am often told by people that she is the nicest person they have ever known. That is not surprising, because it is impossible to be nicer than she was. Sue was all of the things I have mentioned and more. She was an outstanding student, always at or near the top of her class. She was a terrific athlete. who never had the opportunity to compete for her schools because sports teams for females did not exist then. In short, Sue had the whole package. She was also my best friend, my greatest source of happiness, and the person I respected most in the world. And I am the lucky guy who got to be her partner for 67 years. I will be forever grateful. I love you, honey, and always will. Page 28. Balancing Anger and Gratitude: My Experience with Breast Cancer, by Jill Combe. On January 7th, 2025, I received a call that no one wants to hear. You have breast cancer. For those with technical knowledge, stage 2 invasive ductal carcinoma ERBR plus, HER2 negative. The next 8 months became a whirlwind of doctor's appointments, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, medical leave from work, rearranging my life, and learning to rely heavily on others were not part of my 2025 master plan. The harsh realities of a curable cancer are life-altering. I lost my breasts, I lost my hair, I lost the functionality of my reproductive organs, and at times, I lost my spirit. I cried enough tears to fill a large pool and ask myself, why me? More times than I can count. Facing cancer brought a storm of emotions, and early on, it was mostly anger. Anger rose from fear, pain, and an overall sense of unfairness. It was destructive at times and consumed my thoughts. Anger also fueled my determination to fight, set appropriate boundaries, and advocate for the care I needed. Yet I was feeling angry that I was so angry. In Musar, a spiritual practice of ethics and character development that aims to illuminate the innate holiness within each person by refining one's inner qualities, anger is seen as a trait to be balanced rather than eliminated. So after some time, I shifted my focus to gratitude, which let me recognize the good, gain better perspective, and hold on to hope. That led me to my gratitude list. Science. I was naive in my understanding that you only had to be hyper concerned about breast cancer if you had BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene mutations. There are, in fact, many gene mutations that can increase the risk of breast cancer. Due to family history, I was able to have genetic testing done, which revealed an ATM gene mutation. It is estimated that 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. With this gene mutation, it increased my risk to 20 or 30%. Which meant I was able to have a yearly breast MRI for additional screening. It was at my very first MRI in December 2024 that my tumors were found, missed by both mammograms and ultrasounds. Early detection gave me the best chance of fight. Thank you, science. Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, just 20 minutes away, I received world-class care from a huge team of professionals at Roswell. The true heroes were the nurses and therapists who show up to work every day with a smile on their face, hold space for every patient to express their feelings and needs, and never make you feel like you're a number. I was an active participant in my treatment plan and always felt like my voice was heard. Thank you, Roswell. Medical professionals. One of the most difficult parts of this experience was the wait between learning about my diagnosis and seeing my oncologist. The questions and uncertainty that raced through my mind were a burden I wouldn't wish on anyone. Fortunately, there are many incredible doctors in our community that I was able to connect with and ask a million questions. Despite not being my personal doctors, they reviewed my charts and explained medical jargon, so I felt empowered to walk into my first oncology appointment, informed and ready. How lucky our community is to have so many talented professionals who not only have expertise in their fields, but make space to help all in need. Thank you, medical professionals. Our community. Perhaps the most humbling experience was learning to say thank you for the outpouring support from my family, friends, and the entire community. The most gorgeous flower bouquets and meal deliveries flooded my home in the weeks following my surgery. Special packages of sweet treats, soup to warm my body and soul, and comfort items were randomly dropped off at my doorstep. Daily phone calls and text messages helped me pass the time. I received the most beautiful cards and handwritten notes, and I have cherished every single one of them. The letters of solidarity from those who went through similar experiences, to cheerful cards letting me know you were thinking about me, and deeply personal notes of inspiration, they were the medicine I didn't know I needed. I recall one particularly difficult day. A handwritten card from a friend brought me to tears. The good, kind, and shifted my entire outlook. I have saved every card and note that I received and will treasure them forever. Thank you to the best community. Centering on gratitude helped me shift my focus from what was lacking to the abundance of what was already present. This community is smart, caring, and deeply loving. I don't think I will ever be able to adequately express my gratitude to everyone who helped me along the way and continues to cheer me on as I navigate this next phase, but I carry it with me and hope to give back in return. I rang the bell on August the 25th, marking the end of my active treatment and moving to a maintenance phase that will hopefully stick around for decades to come. It will be a challenge to get used to this new way of life, perhaps involving a little more pink in my wardrobe and encouraging women to advocate for their health and preventative screenings. According to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, 1 in 5 adults newly diagnosed with cancer in the United States has children under 18 years old. It is a club that no one wants to join, but if you find yourself here, know that you are not alone. Hineni, I am here. Jill Kum is the Chief of Administration at the Buffalo Jewish Federation. You have been listening to a reading of articles and features from the November 2025 issue of the Jewish Journal. Your reader has been Mary Ann. Thank you for listening.